You know that feeling when a song comes on and it's so good that it feels like you're frozen in time? Well, that's what my podcast In My Tracks is all about. The songs that stopped me in my tracks. I'm your host, Jada Burt, and I have revealing conversations with musicians about their creative challenges, mental health struggles, and the economic realities they're facing as independent artists today. And you discover your new favorite songs. Tune into In My Tracks everywhere you listen to podcasts.
What is up, y'all? This is Scarlett, aka Scardi B, aka your resident emo historian. And join me as I unpack the history of Fall Out Boy and hip hop. Look, y'all, there is a lot to cover in this limited run podcast. So strap on in, cause sugar, we're going in.
Bow, 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 bow. What is up, y'all? It is your girl Scardi B here with another episode of Sugar. We're going in, the only podcast about the history of Fall Out Boy and hip hop. Now, this episode is a little different from all the others, and it's because it was recorded live in front of an audience at my emo bingo in Philly, November of 2023. I got to sit down with Chris Payne, the author of Where Are Your Boys Tonight? The Oral History of Emo's Mainstream Explosion, 1999 to 2008. So you might already know who Chris is, or you might not, but you will definitely leave a fan of Chris's work. We had a great conversation about the people and the bands that made this time in music so, so incredibly special. If you haven't gotten the book, please check out my show notes. The hardcover is already out, but starting June 11th, 2024, you can also get it on paperback. So big shout out to Day Street Books. And you can head over also to harpercollins.com, place a pre-order now for the next week, or wait until June 11th where it'll be available everywhere. This is so exciting. I wish nothing but the best for Chris. It was such an amazing conversation and an incredible first live podcast recording for little old me, Scardi B. So without further ado, please enjoy my interview with Chris Payne, author of Where Are Your Boys Tonight? Bye.
Yo, what is up, y'all? It is Scardi B here with Sugar. We're going in live! I'm already about to cry, but what the fuck else is new? Y'all, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. If this is not, welcome back, my shugs. Y'all know what the fuck it is. We talk about the history of Fall Out Boy and hip hop. And this episode is a little different. You might have heard a couple people in the studio because it's live from City Winery here in Philly. Please make some noise. My favorite podcast does this thing where they ask everybody to shout their name out really loud so they can hear themselves in the episode. It just sounds like a blurg, but it's really fucking funny. So in three, if anybody could just shout their name real loud, you'll get on the podcast, okay? One, two, three. Is that a family name? Y'all sound so great. Amazing. Well, we are here and I have a guest. I have a guest for y'all. Y'all may know him, y'all may not, but y'all will definitely leave a fan of this man. I'm gonna give him some time to start slowly walking up to the podium. But please, Chris Payne and is a New York-based culture and journalist and writer. His book, Where Are Your Boys Tonight? An Oral History of Emo's Mainstream Explosion, came out this summer. You might know him from his work at Billboard, where he hosted a long-form interview-based podcast, so he's not new to this. But he's covered festivals like Coachella and Lollapalooza, and he's interviewed people like Travis Barker, Pete Wentz, Pusha T, Rivers Cuomo. The list goes on, but now I get to interview him. Without further ado, please help me welcome Chris motherfucking Payne. Let me take off my glasses. I'm literally so blind, but you guys are so hot, so I just wanted to be able to see y'all. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Thank you so much for that introduction. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Oh my God, could you imagine? I mean, I hit up Chris maybe like a month or so ago and was like, hey, I got an idea. I've been a fan of his book ever since my fiance, Martin, shout out to Martin, got me this book. Knowing that this is right up my alley. And look at the beautiful catalyst that it made. But welcome, Chris. Talk to me. Welcome to Philly. And, you know, let's talk a lot about the book, right? So if you haven't read it, this is Where Are Your Boys Tonight? The Emo Oral History and just Mainstream Explosion of All Things Emo right here. Talk to me about why this book, why now?
Actually, so... Pete Wentz has so much to do with why the book came out at the exact time it did, which was I started working on it in April of 2020, like in the thick of the pandemic when no one was leaving their house. As you mentioned, I was a journalist. I still am a journalist, but I worked at Billboard, like the Billboard charts, the big music company. And
never heard of it.
Yeah, right. So it was, you know, COVID vibes, and everyone in media was like, oh, we need to lay people off because, like, it's COVID, let's panic. So unfortunately, me and, like, a lot of other people.
And, like, not the good panic at the disco,
no.
But, like, panic, yeah.
Panic without the exclamation point.
Oh, my God, like, 3 exclamation points, actually. They all were just added back on. Every time a band member leaves, they just add an extra exclamation point.
So, unfortunately, Billboard laid off a bunch of people, including me. You know how it is, like, people reach out on social media and be like, I'm like, you know, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Or like, here, like, these
my
people.
Condolences.
Yeah, yeah. And like, so I had interviewed Pete a bunch of times at Billboard, but we had never like really like interacted like on email or like DMs
Does
or anything like that.
Does anybody ever really interact with Pete Wentz, or is it ever just like just an intense like back and forth?
Right. So just out of nowhere this day, I was just like, you know, going through all these emails, and like one of them is just like, hey man, like sorry about the news today. Like, you know, I saw that you got laid off, and like, you know, we should work on something sometime. And I looked at the email, I was like, Pete Wentz in like the mailbox. I was like, is someone
AOL
fucking with
me? AOL or Hotmail.
So, well, I was thinking the
no
same
answer.
Thing. I was like,
I'm going to try Pete Wentz 1, Pete Wentz 2 at Gmail, and we're going to get it.
So I was like, is this real? Is someone like fucking with me? So I did what anyone would do, and I called up Gabe Saporta, and I was like, Gabe.
casual, Gaby baby.
I was like, Gabe, is this the real Pete Wentz? Like, he was like, read me the email address, and I was like, read it to him. He's like, yeah, that's Pete.
Oh, wait, what was it?
We can talk later. So yeah, long story short, I was like, hey Pete, there's this like book I always wanted to do. I always thought like, you know, 2000s emo deserves an oral history book that people could read, and like, you know, whether you were there or weren't there, you could like know the story. And he agreed to do an interview, and long story short, he was one of the first people, so was Gabe. And like 200 interviews later, here's the book.
Insane. I mean, this book includes, I mean, every person in the emo scene that you could ever imagine, plus some journalists that we all grew up reading. I mean, I know we talked shortly about James Montgomery. He was Fall Out Boy's MTV News, just like specific correspondent. So for 10 years, all his job was to talk about Fall Out Boy. And I was like, I volunteer next. Please let me know. But we have the book up here. And again, shout out to my fiance, Martin, who really was just like the catalyst of getting me this and really setting things off. But as you can see, it's like a pinata as I use it for the podcast and getting ready for today. But talk to me about, we have a picture of, because this is an audio format, so I got to describe it. So let me use my description voice. We have a picture. No, I'm kidding. We have a picture of Gerard Way, Newark's boy. We've claimed Newark. People often ask, like, oh my God, why does My Chemical Romance scream? If you were from Newark, you'd fucking scream too, okay? So I fucking get it. But a picture of Gerard Way and then a Fall Out Boy reference, like, I felt like this book was literally made for me. Like, what were some other titles or photos that didn't make the cut for this cover?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. So,
I do this.
Okay, so Where Are Your Boys Tonight? Was original, so the book covers 1999 through 2008. I go in depth on each year, you know, whole history of emo, you know, obviously the genre existed before and after, but you know, as far as like the mainstream moment, when it was biggest, when it was all over the MTV VMAs and like Grammy red carpets and stuff like that, I wanted to like give the inside story of how it got so big, the basements it came from, the small shows, how it blew up into like the pop culture phenomenon that it became. So yeah. Before I had Where Are Your Boys Tonight as the title, fun fact, Tell All Your Friends was going to be the title of the book.
Ooh. Good one.
Which still is, it's one of the section titles. So there's a section on the section that covers 2001 and 2002 is called And Will You Tell All Your Friends from the Taking Back Sunday song. So there was that
Who
one.
Are they? No, I'm kidding.
So Where Are Your Boys Tonight was like kind of the other title. That was originally the title of the 2003 to 2004 section covering like the first Fall Out Boy album. And I just thought it had a good ring to it.
I mean, let's give it up. I mean, I know everybody in here is grabbing a copy. And what I love about this book is that for my ADHD brain, you break down not only the sections, but the chapters. And then before any chapter, you get a breakdown of all the interviews that you're going to read about and who they are and why we're fucking reading them. So I really love that. And we talked, you spoke about, you know, territory in New Jersey a lot in here. New Jersey represent? But like South Jersey is just East Philly. So like relax, everybody chill out. Territory is everything. How was your experience at the epicenter of some of these like emo roots? You know, Pete Wentz on page 206 said, it's weird to think of Jersey as the promised land, right? But for that kind of music, it definitely was. And we're both from the same area code, like 732 represent.
73
Yeah. Wow. I'm writing that one down. Someone write that down. But you know, my geometry teacher was the sax player for Streetlight Manifesto. You know, little things like that. Shout out Mr. Ross. But we saw Jawbreaker, Midtown, Thursday, all rise out of New Jersey. What was it about New Jersey that really kicked this off?
Yeah, just like so many people, obviously some people live in New Jersey because of close proximity to New York City and Philly. A lot of creative people, a lot of maybe people whose parents have those creative minds, come from those creative walks of life. I mean, for me, so I grew up in a town called Colonia, New Jersey, in Woodbridge Township. Went to like a big public high school, 02 to 06.
An amazing mall.
Yeah, Woodbridge Mall. I worked at Woodbridge Mall, worked at Menlo Park Mall also.
Whoa. Were you there when the WB store was there?
Yeah, yes. I remember, I've spent
smelled
a lot of
crazy
week, yeah.
there.
They had that like the touch
the
tunnel,
tube.
The tube
yeah,
thing that you
dude.
Could like walk through. This is great content for your podcast.
Oh, I'm so happy. This is my podcast. This is my conversation. And I want to talk about the tube at the WB store at Menlo Park Mall. Yes.
Yes.
New Jersey.
New Jersey. So.
Thank you for giving me space, though. You were like, go off, queen. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, like, 02 to 06, like, sick time to be in high school if you were into this music. Like, looking back, I'm just like, shit, I was so lucky and so, like, just privileged that I grew up in that time and place where, like, you know, like, the 2005 Warped Tour is a big year in this book. And that year, like, I think a Warped Tour ticket cost maybe, like, $30.
Like, with tax.
Yeah, yeah. And the 05 Warped Tour, there were two...
Ethan Lyman also took the orders personally. Yeah. Like, that's how back...
He walked to your, like, where you were in line and, like, hand-delivered your tickets.
Listen to my demo. Also, buy the ticket.
Yeah, like Warped Tour back in those days was, like, $30. 05 was Fall Out Boy and MCR, like, just as they were cresting into MTV stars, both on the main stage. Paramore as, like, a baby band right after All We Know Is Falling came out was on the Shira Girl stage. There were also bands like Senses Fail and Thrice. And the All-American Rejects. It was just like a loaded lineup, you know, like the Transplants were on that year if you were into like, you know, into Travis Barker's thing. So it was just like between that and Starland Ballroom, the Bamboozle Festival, which happened every year in like two.
Shout out Bamboozle.
Yeah, like, you know, happened every year in Asbury Park and then later in the Meadowlands every spring, just like 2 months before Warped Tour came through. So like, 05, which I really pick out as like the epicenter of this movement in the book. It's the only year that has its own chapter. 05, like, you know, I was just like a kid who was a junior in high school. Like, I wasn't like working in like the music industry or anything, but I got to see Fall Out Boy, MCR, I think like 3 times in like a 6 month span that year.
Oh my God, you sound like me.
But it was like, it's just like, oh, these bands are just always touring. And if you were in New Jersey, they just came around so much. And now looking back, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's like, oh, when MCR was in like their Three Cheers and then Black Parade era. And when Panic was in the Fever
makeup
era. And like,
melting off in the summer because it's 98 degrees and you're playing on asphalt in the middle of a racetrack.
So much
That's
makeup all over
emo.
The place. And
was your makeup coming off, too? What happened? Who's clapping?
And one other thing with like me in high school that really inspired me to get into this stuff and think like, oh, just like a kid like me who's into like, you know, into like, I'm like, in like a kid in like honors English class and like into writing and like zines and like writing about stuff on MySpace. But like, you know, I wasn't like connected to the music industry or anything like that. I had a good buddy, his name's Greg Scalera, who played keys in an emo band called Moraine, who were like a thing in Jersey in those years. Like they never like signed to a label, but they were close and they opened up for bands like Gym Class Heroes and Paramore when they came through New Jersey in that era. And like my buddy Greg, who just like I hung out with all the time, like they went on like a mini tour with Paramore, and like he told me about like, oh yeah, there's this band with like this singer with this incredible voice, and like they just signed to Fuel By, and like you know, here's this song Pressure, check it out, like when it was like the one song on their Pure Volume. And so just like having friends who were like, oh yeah, he's my like, oh yeah, my friend is like, he's just like friends with Paramore, just like when like that was in such close proximity to you as like a little kid, it's like so it's crazy, it's like so intoxicating. And if you're like someone who's wants to do creative things, like for me it wasn't a band, it was, you know, turned into interviewing people and writing a book, but it's pretty sick. And like looking back, like Jersey was a really special place for that.
Look at you now sitting in chilly Philly with a Dominican with a lot to say. Good for you. Love this. And call me a mall cop because this is a segue. Chapter 19 is called New Friend Request, which works because Gym Class Heroes, you already fucking know. Everybody say hi, Travi.
Hi, Travi.
I'll send them that clip. Anyway, so you talk a lot about MySpace, obviously, but who would be in your top eight today?
Okay, so
the recent on the chair?
Because top eight was so contested back then. It was like such a thing. So when top eight first happens, I did like at first I was like, all right, I guess I have to do this. I guess I have to like rank my friends. But maybe after like 2 weeks of that, I was like, I'm just gonna put like bands and like record labels in, because this way it's just, like, I just felt like weird ranking friends. And then there was like these special codes that people introduced, so you could like add code to your MySpace and do like a top 64, which was just absurd. Then it's just like, oh, like, am I leaving a single friend out? It wasn't even like ranking anymore. It was like, have I fit every person I know?
This is my entire phone contacts, yeah.
So if I did a MySpace now, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't do like the ranking friends. It's weird. I would do the combo of like, you know, some bands, record labels / like publisher, like book publishing stuff.
Okay, but who's number one?
Who is number one? It's Tom, though. No.
It's my Tom. Man, Tom. Great. Anderson. Yo. Thank you. We got to it. Yeah, it's Tom.
All time has done over the years is just reveal what a good soul Tom Anderson was compared to like...
Shout out to Tom, wherever he's tonight. That's actually where Fall Boy got the title, Where Is Your Boy Tonight? It's actually about Tom. Patrick Stump was just like, please, Tom, thank you. This is a podcast about hip-hop and Fall Out Boy, so I need to talk about also, A, thanking you for your hip-hop representation in this book. Understanding that 2005 was huge for emo, it was also fucking huge for hip-hop, and we'd be remiss to understand the black artists, the brown artists, the hip-hop artists that were a part of this culture and making Pete Wentz cool, ? So let's talk about what is, now that hip hop is the biggest genre, right? It was emo, now it's like hip hop across the board. We got some Lil Uzi and Bring Me the Horizon lately. What are some other collaborations that you would love to see?
Ooh, I feel like every rapper is trying to get Hayley Williams on a song. I mean, SZA first,
please.
Because I mean,
Fetty Wap's about to get a verse before SZA. Like, we need to get it together.
Who do you think? Because I feel like when she did the B.O.B. song, and when she did like there was one other EDM song, she was like in the features game for like half a minute, then she quit, and didn't the Uzi collab with Hailey didn't happen, right? Like the new, like she said in an interview, or one of them said that Uzi asked, and like Hailey was like, politely said no, just like, I'm not really doing features now. I think that was what happened.
But she gave one to a flat earther. So, like, did anybody win? Like, it's pretty rough. But, you know, I think about Uzi specifically because he opened for Fall Out Boy on the Boys of Summer tour, where Fall Out Boy toured with Wiz Khalifa. And, you know, when we talk about the power of hip hop and the power of, you know, these bands running together, it was really a moment. And Fall Out Boy was not a catalyst for this at all, but was really at the forefront of showing this off. And again, just representation of, like, Black and brown people in the scene. You also make a huge space for those people here in this book. You know, shout out to Hanif, shout out to Travi, shout out to Mani, who are all a part of this and had some really great pieces. And how do you see us holding space for BIPOC people across the scene?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, Pete was so, I mean, Fall Out Boy in general, Pete especially, were just, like, so ahead of the curve.
Are we breaking news to people? Pete's mother's Jamaican. Does everybody know? Are we good? Okay. Whew.
Yeah, and, like, back in the, like, in those years, I mean, I read up a lot on Fall Out Boy, but I don't think I really knew that Pete was mixed race. I don't think I knew. And, like,
I don't think he knew for a bit too. I think him and, like, the straightener, but, like, once you smelled the hair, you were like, yeah, babe. Like, I feel like Pete in, like, 2003, 2005 smelled like pink lotion. If you fucking know, you know. Jesus. Anyway. Is the candle up here? I have just revealed a Pete Wentz prayer candle. He's there. We love him. He's there. He's chilling.
For whatever reason, I think just, like, when people interviewed Fall Out Boy, like, Pete's heritage, like, wasn't really asked about, or just, like, whenever the person sat down to write the story, it just didn't come up. But I mean, like, you know, if you take, like, hardcore back far enough, like, Bad Brains is, like, maybe the most important band in hardcore, you know? So it's like, there has been, like, Black and brown people so important. It's, like, the lineage of this music. It's just, like, for a lot of different reasons, it just hasn't been told. So, you know, I think things have gone in, like, a much better direction the past 10 years or so with, you know, more representation and just, like, more stories being told. But, you know, obviously a whole lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. But I just really loved your stories in here and the way that you held space for some really awesome people. So thank you for that, Chris. What is the most surprising thing that you learned while putting this book together?
Man, one crazy thing, how much money was being thrown around. So like I said, like, I worked at Billboards. It's, like, a very music industry kind of thing. So they always, like, kind of train me to, like, ask for numbers, right? Because, you know, when you're reading a story, even if it's not, like, a industry story, like, when instead of just saying, like, oh, this, like, record deal was huge, just, like, saying, like, the, like, amount of money for the record deal, like, that goes a long way. So when I was, like, interviewing, like, Senses Fail or, like, Hawthorne Heights about the Warped Tour, a question I asked a lot was, like, yo, how much merch money were you making a night? And, like, I found out the record, which probably, I'm sure, never got broken, MCR, the Detroit area date on the 05 Warped Tour, they made $60,000 worth of merch. That's insane. And not just, like, the MTV level bands. It was like Buddy from Senses Fail told me that they were making, like, $30,000 a night.
Hawthorne Heights. I mean, who in here is wearing band merch, Lily, right now? This is an audio format. Duh. Anyway, Chris.
Yeah, like, the money being thrown around was just wild because, like, the way things worked back then, like, everyone was paying in cash. So, like, the Warped Tour, for people who, like, were there or were not there, it wasn't like now where it's just, like, Venmo or just, like, they have a little swipey thing on the phone where you just swipe your credit card. Like, it was all kids. The kids didn't have credit cards back then. So everyone was paying in cash. Also, the shirts and stuff were, you remember those, like, Warped Tour prices, like the $15 t-shirts?
Yes. I mean, we were just talking about Bamboozle, where Glamour Kill, shout out Glamour Kills, would have, like, $10 shirts or, like, five or, like, buy 16 for, like, $20.
Yeah, this was, like, the flip side was this was, like, before the era of, like, American Apparel merch and, like, Comfort Colors, or it was just, like, that, like, really, like, high
Gabe
quality.
Gabe Saporta coming back to ruin lives. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Him and Forrest, Hello Goodbye, were, like, American Apparel supporters.
The purple American Apparel, yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's yeah, coming yeah. back. Everybody go on Mercari, buy yours now before when we were young, so.
But, yeah, and then, like, so where I was going with, like, all the cash was because, like, there was no, like, most of these Warped Tour dates were, like, you know, in, like, a parking lot somewhere. There wasn't just, like, you know, a Bank of America where they could immediately, like, just go deposit their money. So these bands were like usually going like a week without being able to deposit. So a band like, you know, Hawthorne Heights, JT, the singer of that band, was telling me like, yeah, we would like, people would think we were drug dealers because like we would get stopped and we would have like $100,000 in cash wadded up in our van. like what?
Robless.
like Josh from Motion City Soundtrack was telling me like, yeah, we were like in between dates, we were in New York City and I was walking around with $150,000 in my backpack, just walking around Times Square. Cause like we had all this cash and we had nowhere to deposit it. And I was just like, man,
that's also a plot line in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So, I really, it's like art and life just reflect each other. Yeah. I love that for them. Money off of this merch. I mean, even today, licensing is so huge. Like, we see these reprints. I was just talking about the My Chemical Romance 2001, like Newark, New Jersey one. So it continues today. What are some of your favorite band tees that you have right now?
Ooh, okay. I mean, Fall Out Boy for Lovers is a classic.
Boom.
It's eternal.
We got to get the Drop It Like It's Hot one. That's the next one on the line.
Yeah. Vividly remember that one from the hallways of my high school. What else was there? You know, what sticks out in my mind are the ones that like were sold in Hot Topic. I had a green Academy Is t-shirt. It was like a 70s style logo.
Like a ringer tee?
It wasn't a ringer tee, but it was like a 70s. It was like the name Academy Is in clouds, almost like the intro of The Simpsons. It wasn't a parody of that, but it was kind of like a smooth 70s style. Academy Is.
So basically like William Beckett 8.
Yeah.
I love that. Can you tell us what's next? I mean, this book is huge. Again, thank you so much for taking time for, you know, putting this together, really writing the history out. I mean, of so many stories that we knew, but we get to read a little bit deeper. And what's next for you? Let's manifest. Yeah, let's speak out loud so I can like clip this and be like, he said this back in like November 2023.
Yeah, just trying to get word about the book out there as much as possible.
You can do so by opening up your cameras right now and tagging C Payne on a plane right now and tell people to buy the book. You can put the little link in bio or link right down the story. You know, it's real easy and it's free. It's free. Not the book. The book's $20. You can get that shit up top. So.
Yeah, you know, like I know how obsessive and like how much fans of this music like know their shit. So like I knew like for researching, I really had to like come correct with like asking questions that hadn't been asked before, stuff that you couldn't just get from like reading an all press story from 2006. So I feel really proud that there's like for every big band in the book, like I'm pretty sure there is a story in there you haven't heard before if you've been into this stuff. So I'm just like trying to like promote this thing. And
there's an audio book, right?
There's an audio. I feel like because it's oral history. It's all quotes. It's entirely from interviews that I did with the band members. Over 150 different people interviewed. The audiobook exists, but I feel like it does not translate.
Can I do Patrick Stump's voice?
You could, yeah. I'll
send you my quotes. Yeah.
I think the best way to do it is to like get the physical book and like read all the voices in your head as those people.
Gabe
or get all your friends together.
Quotes are in full fucking caps, you guys. It is really fucking funny. You have to read. I mean, it sounds, you did a really excellent job at just capturing their actual tonal voice. Hearing these guys not in like interview mode, like they're a bunch of fucking dorks, and like you get to read a ton about that. Y'all, let's give a big thank you to Chris for coming out tonight. I'm gonna end this episode the same way I end every episode, and y'all are gonna hear me because I want to hear y'all on this recording. So everybody on three, give me your best mouth air horn. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Hot. Thank y'all so much. But that's been Sugar. We're going in live. Please, 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 please. Okay, enough. Thank you so much, Chris. Let's give it up for Chris one more time.